Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's high-octane yet environmentally friendly programme for March the 16th. I'm Thomas Stevens. This week it's a case of two wheels bad, four wheels good, as we visit the Geneva International Motor Show, considered by many the best of its kind in the world. We also discover why the more human a car looks, the more it appeals to us. The 82nd Geneva International Motor Show attracts car dealers, buyers and oglers from all around the world. I asked Ross Benny, a Geneva Motor Show regular whose other car is a Porsche, for his personal impression of this year's show.
I thought it was good. My feeling was this year many of the new car launches were just for ordinary kind of bread and butter models, and that made it perhaps slightly less interesting. As someone who's interested in cars, naturally my interest is more in expensive cars or fast cars or exclusive cars than the more ordinary vehicles.
And how does Geneva compare with other international car shows? I mean, surely a flash car is a flash car, isn't it? Is there anything special about Geneva?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's hard for me to put my finger on it, but what I think is special about Geneva is Switzerland doesn't have its own national car industry. If you think of the other major shows in Frankfurt, the German manufacturers are under big pressure to put on a good show. In Japan, the Japanese manufacturers in Tokyo have to do the same. It's the same in Detroit in the United States. Switzerland doesn't have its own local manufacturer that has to be the best. Everyone was playing away from home, and for that reason, it seems to me to be more fun, and I see it more as a celebration of the car industry than simply a chance for us to show how much better we are than the international competition. And for the unbiased, interested person in the industry, I think it makes it more fun.
And what's the atmosphere like? Is there a smell of petrol in the air, or is it more the smell of perfume from the countless models sitting on sparkly car bonnets?
It's not a smell of perfume, and certainly, as far as I can tell, the models sitting on the car bonnets, that happens on the press day for the press photographers. You don't actually see too many models sitting on the car bonnets on the normal day when I tend to go along. If there's any perfume, it comes from the surprisingly large number of female visitors at the show. It's not an all-male preserve.
Well, this is what I thought, because I mean, I've never actually been, but I've got it. I mean, I know that it goes on for 10 days. About 750,000 people are expected. I had images of men with greasy hands everywhere, but actually it's not.
There's a lot of car geeks, of which I would count myself as one. I'd be lying if I said there weren't car geeks there, but in truth, the majority of people there are people who are going there. They want to try cars before they buy, and they can try all sorts of cars under one roof rather than going around lots of garages. First and foremost, this is an event for selling vehicles. That's what it's about. And it's a good way to do it. As I understand it, the cars at the show are all for sale. Quite a lot of them get sold during the event.
Ah, so it's a bit like fashion shows, where the weird and unwearable stuff ends up in the newspapers, but the designers, they actually make their money from the stuff that people can actually wear.
That's the way I see it, yeah. I think that's a pretty good analogy.
Did anything in the show catch your eye?
Yes, quite a few things. Naturally, the star of the show was the latest top-of-the-range new Ferrari. Even the bottom of the range Ferrari is extremely expensive, fast and exclusive, so you can imagine that the top of the range Ferrari is just a quite amazing vehicle and a real event. That was the star of the show, the new Ferrari F12 Berlinetta, and for me it was quite a thing to see. These days, one thing that is interesting about cars is the outside design of the cars. There's quite a lot of creasing, quite a lot of design goes into the metalwork these days. And for that reason, you really need to see the car in a good light. Quite often when you look in a photograph, it doesn't look that good. And yet when you see it in real life, it looks quite a lot better. And that was certainly the case with this Ferrari and a few other cars. For me, the Ferrari was a highlight.
So that was a hit. Were there any misses?
Yes, without a doubt. The miss was Bentley, who have designed a new SUV. What you need first of all to know is there's a little bit of history with Bentley. Bentley have I think we could say, quite a suave image. It's a car for well-to-do English gentlemen, if you like.
Like myself.
Precisely. Gentlemen of the world. But Bentley, like everyone else, and these days, for a start, Bentley is no longer independent. It's owned by Volkswagen. And the car manufacturers, I said that this was an event for selling cars, the car manufacturers are not interested in pleasing the enthusiasts. What they're interested in is making a profit selling their products. And for that reason, Bentley has identified the sports utility vehicle market as a place where they can make some money. Purists would argue, why is Bentley considering making an SUV? But purists don't buy their cars anyway, so Bentley don't care what they think. Mm-hmm. So what they've designed is a big, very large, in-your-face, massive SUV which says, get out of my way, little man. And the enthusiasts, me among them, hated it. It was big, it was ugly, it was bling, it was unattractive, and it was everything I dislike about cars. Bentley aren't going to care.
Self-confessed car geek Ross Benny on the Geneva Motor Show, where we'll return later. But first, we swap our racing overalls for white coats and visit scientists at St. Gallen University who try to find out which features a car must have, and in particular how the front should look, to appeal to the largest number of people. We love cars that convey emotions, and not just in films like Walt Disney's computer-animated Cars, or, if you're slightly older, Herbie, the vivacious Volkswagen Beetle. In real life, we also look at a car's front and see a face. When buying a car, price and efficiency aren't the only criteria. The look of a car heavily influences our choice, and we're often not even aware of it. Car designers, such as Christian Labon, head of design strategy at Audi, know that the front section of a car is the most important.
When you're driving on the road, you're actually looking at other cars' rears for most of the time. The cars driving towards you zip by too fast for you to notice the front. But when you buy a car, it's the front you value most.
The headlights are a decisive element. They are the car's eyes and can range from friendly to aggressive. The front's shape has its own expression, its own life. It all goes back to our predisposition to reading features. St. Gallen University researchers have studied this in detail. This is Jan Landwehr, product design researcher.
We know that in human evolution, the ability to read a face is vital. For us, it's important to know whether the person in front of us is a friend or an enemy. This is why we're hardwired to read a face and its emotions.
To find out what makes a car's face likable, 3,000 people took part in the St. Gallen University survey. The result is quite surprising. Men and women of all ages came to the same conclusion. According to Jan Landwehr, the perfect car's face must have very specific features.
People love emotions, and so we found out that the front grille frame should look friendly, give us a good feeling. But the headlights, the eyes, should show some aggression, because that gives character, spice. This combination of exciting and friendly traits works best.
Not too nice, not too aggressive. That's the perfect balance a car's front should achieve. Car dealers such as René Kunz know this.
When a car looks too aggressive or too exotic, it becomes harder to sell to a broad clientele.
The study could help designers define their ideas even more. Christian Lapont at Audi.
The university study helps us work more on the fine details. For example, how far the headlight's upper edge can be stretched, from innocent to fierce looking. And these details can be determined with a higher degree of precision.
Friendly or tough looking, the cars we drive are so much part of our life, we attribute human traits to them. Back in Geneva, Swiss Info's Simon Bradley buckles up at the International Motor Show and looks at the health of the car industry in an age of austerity measures and environmental concerns. This year, visitors seem to be spoilt for choice, but some industry observers say there are too many cars and too many brands making similar vehicles, and a storm is on the way.
The Geneva Motor Show always tends to produce a bumper crop of new models, and this year's no exception. 260 manufacturers have been displaying 140 world and European premieres at Europe's biggest car fair, including BMW's 6 Series Gran Coupe, Peugeot's 208, and supercars like Lamborghini's Aventador J, worth $3.3 million. Nigel Steed, a director of several British auto firms, was impressed.
The Geneva Motor Show is by far and away the most exciting motor show of any. It's sad that we can't replicate it in the UK. We don't seem to be able to do that. But certainly the products that are on display, the support that the manufacturers give the show is, to my mind, second to none.
The Geneva Show pulls in an eclectic mix of car executives, petrol heads, thousands of journalists, hostesses, Swiss officials like President Evelyn Wittmann-Schlumpf, and the odd celebrity. Former Governor of California Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's taken on a new environmentalist role, also dropped in.
This is one of the reasons why I'm here, is to put the spotlight on green cars and to put the spotlight on the green pavilion, because I think, again, you know, everywhere you go in the world, you find some great idea. And I will make recommendations to other car shows to have a specific green pavilion, because this is terrific to separate out the cars from the rest of the car.
Despite the glamour and accompanying guff about record sales and mega profits, some industry observers fear a storm is on the way. As they roll out new models, automakers in Europe are being forced to fight for a slice of an ever-shrinking European market, stricken with austerity and recession. Auto expert Tim Urquhart says carmakers will find it hard to seduce new buyers this year.
There's a bit of a disconnect between the sort of the optimism, you know, the usual sort of glitz and glamour, you know, the launches, especially, you know, we've seen a lot of launches in the premium sort of segment and the sort of more compact car segment this week with the new Audi A3, Mercedes-Benz A-Class, and the new Volvo as well. But yeah, it's going to be an extremely tough environment for a lot of these vehicles going out into the market.
Environment and safety requirements, together with tough competition and shorter model cycles, have increased costs, and for some manufacturers, reduced market share. This is especially the case for the French and the Italians.
If we just sort of focus on the Western European market, and obviously Geneva is a sort of flagship show for Europe and the European manufacturers, obviously the prognosis isn't very good. I think we're forecasting a full year dip in the market of around 7%, but that's, you know, it's obviously quite an early forecast in the year. But in the first 2 months of the year, we've seen quite an accelerated decline of 10.4%.
Carmakers are having to face the uncomfortable fact that many of their production lines are lying idle and eating up valuable funds. With the European market waning, firms are looking at the US and emerging markets, explained Nelson Irison, an editor with High Gear Media.
As a whole, you know, in the global market, you've got China, Russia, Brazil, India, all growing very strongly. The United States is actually beginning to recover, you know, measurably. So I think the industry will survive the European situation right now, and I think Europe itself will survive it as well. It's just going to take, like it has in the US, you know, several years, maybe, you know, the better part of a decade to really turn it around.
Urquhart had a more somber global outlook.
I mean, I think we're still seeing a fair degree of stability in the markets in certain economies. But I mean, look at China as well as being the real sort of growth driver of the industry in recent years, and that's seen some pretty serious declines in the first 2 months of the year as well. So, I think there's generally a sort of a feeling of anxiety and sort of worry out there in the industry, and OEMs are sort of beginning to realise that, you know, this year's going to be a bit of a tough year, and looking at their cost bases and the ongoing issue of overcapacity that exists in Western Europe in particular, I mean, that's something that has to be addressed, and, you know, the manufacturers need to sort of cut the cloth to fit the demand that's out there, really, I think, and I think there's a growing realisation that has to happen.
Thanks for listening. Read more about these stories and other Swiss news and views at swissinfo.ch. I'm Thomas Stevens.